Blog Talk Radio.
Before the Congressional Committee to tell what I knew of activities which might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
I'm Jim Tucker. I've chased Bilderberg for 30 years. I'll never give up the chase. Bilderberg plan for the whole world is nothing less than world government.
I'm not comfortable with that at all. Who elected these guys to run the planet?
They are the elitists. They feel they should run the world for their own selfish interests.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government, and only an educated, informed public can stop them in their tracks.
Reagan Rockefeller admits in his own memoirs that he wants to destroy the United States.
What?
He's a traitor!
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
I need you to move off the property, please.
Some shots were fired.
There's Bilderbergers right there.
The Trans-Texas Corridor is a vital part because we stop it here in Texas. We stop the new world order right here in Texas.
This thing started here. And to save this country, we kill this damn thing here.
In the United States to carry out a phrase his father used, and that is a new world order.
Your new world order will fall. Yes. Humanity will defeat you. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. Here in All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace. And you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? Well, Nikita Khrushchev has told his people he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side, he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death. Or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material competitions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Joseph Gibson. We're on Blog Talk Radio live, 100% live. I love those introductions. If those introductions bore anybody, then you know what? You really don't belong on this show, because they pretty much sum it all up. I mean, that was Ronald Reagan giving a very, very powerful speech back when he was governor of California. That's not when he was president. He didn't give that speech when he was president. He gave that speech in the 1960s when he was governor of California, okay? And then the song before that is Alex Jones from Infowars.com. and he's an alternative media bug on the internet that, you know, really, he does make a lot of very good points, and he talks about a lot of very interesting things, and a lot of things he has said has come true. However, I do believe he tries to speed things up and hypes it up a little bit to where it's, you know, he's got people out there. You got to be careful because there's a lot of loose cannons out there who will say, oh, my God, it's coming to an end. And they go out and they, you know, dig a hole in their backyard, bury themselves in it, and think the, you know, the end of the world's here. So you got to be careful. You know, meanwhile, at the same time, he's telling you order his products. You know? Well, we're all trying to make money, right? That's what it's all about. I mean, if the end is here, why am I buying your T-shirts? Right? I am a fan of his. I play his introductions, and all his stuff is not copyrighted. He does get permission to use whatever he has on alternative sites like this, and you can reproduce his CDs and whatever he has, you can hand it out, and he does not mind. I like that because anyone who says, hey, you know, who are you, you know, that's mine, you know, that I don't like that because he's popular enough. He knows that. He's got, you know, a million or so listeners that download his show. So, you know, he's making good money doing what he's doing, and I'm sure it costs a lot of money buying all that bandwidth where he can, you know, get all these callers in at once, and this website he's built for the last 15, 20 years. You know, I've only been on here for, 2 months now, and we've already got a pretty good following. So maybe one day we'll be as big as that. Who knows? You never know. It's all up to you, my supporters and my friends, you know, and some of the, you know, key family members that, you know, cue in and support me. And there are some loyal family members, but out of all my family, it's only about, I'd say, 5% of my family that really supports this show. The others are faking it. You know, I can't even get a hold of them. I can't even call them on all I get is voicemail. So, but we know that's the problem with America today. You know, that's why we're failing. We're falling. We're altering. Because family's not together anymore. Friends are not together. You know, we'd rather hang out and party or go on vacation than be with our family. You know, I'd rather hang out with my friends and eat dinner with my friends than sit down and eat dinner with my grandparents. Right? Right? Why, hey, truth, that's the truth, right? I'd rather, you know, be by myself listening to my rap music or rock and roll or playing video games than sit down and hang out with my father. Right? Right? That's what America's about today. That's what we Americans do. That's why the Asians come over here and they thrive because they take advantage of the American dream. That's why the Indians from India and Pakistan or wherever they come over here and they thrive. They own gas stations, they own stores, and they thrive. Why? Because they're together, you see? They take care of each other. They're not going to go hang out with you at a bar or a nightclub and disrespect their mother and their brother and their sisters at home. They're going to go home first, and they're going to hang out with them, and they're going to bring all their money they made home, and we're all going to put it together, and we're all going to chip in, and we're going to thrive because that's what they do. That's what the Asians do. That's what the Indians do, okay? We know it. We see it. You know it. That's what the Mexicans do. Hey, we make fun of them for all living in one house, 10 people in one house. Hey, but you know what? Their electricity never gets shut off. They're not ever in need of anything. They always have plenty of money, and they're okay. They do what they got to do to survive. And so what if they come here and work and then pack up and leave? You know what? Hey, they live the American dream. Now they're going to go back and take care of their family in another in the other country. Hey. Why not? We stupid-ass Americans can't do that. We can't even take care of us. We've been here 228 years. We can't take care of each other, right? All we're doing is we'll kill each other for a $20 bill, right? Why not? That's the American way. That's the Americans. You know, just go down to your local city. Like, I live in Greensboro, North Carolina. Go up to the, when it's college night on Thursday night or Friday and Saturday, go to downtown Greensboro, North Carolina, where I'm at. You'll see them all out there, all dressed up, makeup, hair poking up in the air, half naked, running around. Yeah. Why aren't you home with your family? You're in college? And this is what you're doing on a Thursday and Friday and Saturday night? You got this much time on your hands. Why aren't you home with your family? You're probably paying your way through college. Or you're living on a credit card, one or the other.
Oh, you don't have a right to judge me. Who are you to judge me?
You know, I'm old enough to make my own decisions. Well, that's why America is in decline, and all these foreigners, who even the Muslims, are coming over here, ripping us off. They're coming over here, taking all our jobs, buying up the stores, the gas stations, you know? And all you do is sit back and complain, because that's all you can do, America, you Americans out there, and especially you American Christians who complain. You go to church every Sunday, and you don't do anything to stop what's really going on and what's happening in America today. You got a big mouth, but you don't stand up and you don't act on it. American families, they can't even if they wanted to get together, they couldn't get together. Because we're all whacked in the head, but they're nuts. I mean, even within my own family. I mean, I don't want to criticize anybody, but, you know, we all have our own ways of doing things, and that's the way it's going to be. We're not going to bend over backwards for our brother and sister or our mother and father. We're going to do it my way, and that's the way it's going to be. And I'm not sacrificing anything I have or what I work for you. That's the way it is in the family today, including in my family. I mean, there are people within my family, hey, they worked hard, and they see what the younger generation has done, and they have no responsibility. They have no gumption to go out and try to make a living or earn a dollar or work hard to earn that dollar or create anything new. They just want to plan for Friday for that next vacation to have a good time. Let me tell you something. When I was growing up, I was a little bit different. Okay, and I have family members that are listening tonight that could tell you I was different. Yes, I made a lot of mistakes, but that's because I had the wrong people around me at the right time. But when I was out and I had an opportunity to be around real family, I worked my ass off to make people better around me, my family better around me. Okay, when I was on the dairy farm back in the late 1980s, I made sure that I got up and I gave 110% every single day to help my family that was putting a roof over my head at that time. Because you want to know why? Because they were with me every single day. They talked to me every single day. And we did everything together every single day. We acted as a family. I never once hung out with my friends on a Saturday night when I was with my family on the farm. Every single night I was with my family on the farm. My family were the dogs, my aunt and uncle. Okay? If I wanted to go out and burn a little bit of energy, I had 8 boxers to run around 280 acres and have fun that way. And if we wanted to go out on a Friday night, we did it together. We went out bowling. We went out to dinner. Hey, there was always an activity we can do together as a family. That's no fun, you may say. I want to go out to the club and do drugs and get high and get drunk. Well, you're a jackass if you believe that. Oh, I lived that life too. Where'd it get me? Nowhere. I'd rather have that life on the farm than have that life when I wasn't on the farm and I was out until 3 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of losers who aren't around today and don't give a damn about me then, now, or tomorrow. Okay? So if you think you got a lot of friends out there, you don't. And those of you who want to hang out with your boys tonight instead of calling into this show, because I got a couple emails tonight from the younger crowd that is supposedly supporting this show. They're out with their boys. Instead of learning something and contributing and being part of a community that helps each other, because that's what this show is going to be all about, and that's what we're trying to create here, we don't want your tainted messages. We don't want your change. I don't want your liberal nonsense. So, you know what? If you're not going to be here when it's showtime, or if you don't have really anything that's really that important of an engagement to do, you know what? Don't call in this show. Go about your way and go about your loser life. Because we're here to try to help each other. If you can't take 90 minutes out of your entire day to be a part of something that I'm asking you to be a part of because you know me personally, then you know what? Get lost. I don't care. I don't need you. Because this show will be okay. And the strangers that are listening, you may say, what the hell is he talking about? Because we do have an inner core of supporters for this show that I've been trying to build over the past 2 months. Family and friends. And some have contributed, but others contribute and then they walk away. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that either. But don't say you're going to do something and don't do it. I don't like that. That's irresponsible, it's disrespectful, and you're a freaking liar. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're going to be someplace at 6:30 at night, be there. I don't want to hear your grandmother died 8 times. I don't want to hear you had a flat tire 6 times. I don't want to hear the excuses that you Americans give. You should be ashamed of yourself. And don't be jealous of these foreigners that are coming across the border, taking advantage of these jobs, and doing the right thing, and living the American dream. Yes, these immigrants that come over here and commit crimes, yes, I agree. If they're over here illegally, then they should be arrested, prosecuted, and sent away, and never be allowed to come back. But that's only a few that are doing that, okay? I see people within my own community that are not from this country who work, and they work damn hard. People that are Americans who've been here your whole life, you should be ashamed of yourself. You really should. You're pathetic. You're pathetic. And if anyone wants to challenge me on that, or if you have a different notion or way or belief of thinking, then call me. 657-383-0616. Press 1 and I'll put you on. Because you know what? I had a landscaping outfit where I used to go out all the time. It wasn't really a business. It was a hobby of mine. But I had a lot of people who trusted me to take care of their properties every single day. And I eventually had to have people help me. Because some of these jobs, you know, I had to mow sometimes 8-10 yards a day. And while I was at those yards, I'd have to fertilize, pull weeds, trim the shrub, maybe sometimes cut down trees that had fallen down halfway or whatever have you, the landscaping. It's landscaping is a very difficult job when it's 95 and 100 degrees outside. And the humidity and the dew point is at 70 to 75. It's a very difficult job. 35 years old, I'm in good shape, I'm bench pressing 300 pounds. Why can't I get out there and do it? Why did? But the people that I had around me were, you know, and I advertised, American-owned, American-operated. That was my biggest damn mistake, folks. You may say, what? That was my biggest mistake. I should have hired every Mexican I could find. Let me tell you something. I'd have 300 accounts right now. Instead, I stood with America. I stood with these lazy bums out there who just want to earn a $20 bill so they can buy a six-pack at the end of the day and hang out for 3 days drunk. Yeah, it's true. That's what happened. If you don't like it, like I said, call me. But that's the truth. It's the God's honest truth. And if the truth, and they always say the truth hurts. And nobody likes the truth. It bothers them, and people get very angry when they hear the truth. Too damn bad. I don't care. because that's what this show is about, understanding the times in which we live in today. Now, if you want to help yourself, you want to help out your family members, you want to help out your friends, whether or not you just want to help you, that's fine. Then you need to listen to this show. Like one of my callers a couple weeks ago, Mike from Wisconsin, okay, he calls into this show almost every single night we broadcast, and he said this show is a self-help show where we're going to help everybody out there. If you want help and you want to know about things and you want to talk about things, this is the show to listen to. Not Glenn Beck in the morning, okay? You call that 1-800 number, you'll never get through. You want to know why? Because you're not a paid guest, all right? We don't pay people to come on here and try to impress you. This is all honesty, the best way I know how, okay? The best way I know how, we have to bring the facts forth and we have to talk about the news of today. And we have to comment on the news today and we have to talk to each other about it. And a lot of times it's mainly a lot of family and friends that call into this show. We've had a lot of strangers in the last couple of weeks, but then they fall off. They claim, yeah, that was great, thank you. I appreciate you letting me say what I got to say. Yeah. I gave you your chance. They all fade away eventually because that's the American way. They never go 110%. They never give everything they got, and they never stick by it, stand by it, and keep going no matter what. Hey, look, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect and I'm the best guy in the whole world and I'm here yelling at everyone out there listening. What I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to motivate people because what I'm saying is true, right? Right? If I'm wrong, call me and tell me I'm wrong, because we know things are pretty screwed up in America today. For goodness sake, even your mainstream lying television tells you it's screwed up. So that was my introduction for tonight. I can carry on if someone else wants to contribute or call in. The phone number is 657-383-0616. You press 1. Now listen, I've got a lot of emails. I didn't get any today. I really didn't promote the topic tonight. But you can remain anonymous. Nobody out there is going to know who you are. I will, because I have to see your phone number. But if you don't want to give your name and tell where you're calling from, you don't have to. You can remain anonymous. I don't screen calls because it's a waste of freaking time. Call in here and you got something to say. Look, if you're talking stupid, I'll mute you. That's all. I'm in control here. But you can remain anonymous. I got somebody on the line right now. Hello, Wisconsin. Go ahead. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hey,
how you doing?
Pretty good tonight. Pretty good. You say this is a self-help show. Let's see if anybody can help me. My dilemma is I have a golf cart that has 6 batteries that are hooked up in succession. Okay, they're all hooked together. And the golf cart is, 36 volts. And it's been working fine. And then all of a sudden my battery charger went out because it was older than the hills. Okay, and I knew it wasn't going to last very long, but so I got a new charger, and I put it on the golf cart, and now the thing won't run at all, and I'd say it's sat about a month without me running it. So I'm just wondering if anybody knows anything, like if there's a weak battery in the middle of the 6 batteries in that are tied together, would that stop the go-kart, the golf cart from running because one battery's weak? And
no, wait a second, Mike. It takes 6 batteries to start this golf cart?
Yeah, it takes 6 batteries. It's an electric golf cart. It takes 6 volt batteries that are all in succession tied together, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
it's like, okay, it sat for about a month. I didn't write it or anything. And then I went back and I, of course, charged it, but it acts like it's dead as a doornail. And I'm just wondering if, now, there's two batteries in it that are brand new, and the other four batteries are probably older than Moses, you know? But I'm figuring I have a battery tester, you know, like will you test the fluid, you know, to see how much, you know.
Do you think does it have a starter? Does this golf cart have a starter?
No, it don't.
What about the ignition? What about the ignition switch?
Well, you have a switch that go forward and go reverse. That's it. And you know, when you're done using it, you put it into like neutral, and that's the end. I mean, Well, you do have a switch you turn on. Okay, so you do have a switch you turn on, and then you know you can go forward or reverse, whatever. But I'm just wondering that if one of the batteries or two of the batteries in the middle of the pack of batteries are weak, will that stop? You know, because they're all hooked
in succession. Well, if you have to have six, well, Mike, if you have to have six batteries in succession and you only have four that are working, I would say yes. But I do have someone else that wants to probably give you some advice, so I'll put them on. So I'll put them on right now, connect them to you. Okay, this is Joe and Meredith. Hey, Joe.
Hey, this is Joe and Meredith, and I want to remain anonymous.
All right, well, you're anonymous.
You got six volt batteries in series.
That's correct, yep.
So you got a total of 36 volts. Check the voltage on each battery for 6 volts. Did you do that?
Not yet.
Okay, well, check each battery, or check from one end to the other and see if you got 36 volts or 38, whatever it would be, because it's really not 6 volts. And
I would put, like, you know, positive on one side and then stretch it across the other and put negative on the other one and see.
No,
right?
you get a voltmeter, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. You put positive on a positive side and negative on a negative side. If it was a digital multimeter, it wouldn't matter. It would just say negative because you had it hooked up backwards.
Right.
But if you have an analog meter, then the meter will try to go backwards, and you know that's not good.
Yeah, I know the difference between positive and negative. I mean, you know, but I'm just saying, because I let it sit for a month, okay, and it might have been a little more than a month, but, you know, it's just sat outside, no charging, no nothing. You know, there's two batteries in it. There's one that starts on the basically the positive side where you plug it in, and all the way over to the end battery. Those two batteries are relatively new. All the other batteries in the middle, I don't know how old it is because I just got the golf cart this year. So it's a used golf cart.
Do you have a 6-volt headlight? You could put it across each battery and see if the headlight works. You have to disconnect. Don't put it across each battery as they're all connected. You have to disconnect the batteries and put it across each battery.
Right. No, I don't have a 6-volt headlight.
All right. The only other thing you can do is go down to your local cheap junk tool store, Metro Tool or whatever they have, and you can buy a battery tester for, I don't know, $20, and you put it across the negative and the positive, and you push the switch down, and it'll actually measure the battery underneath the load.
Yeah, I have one of these, you know, testers that you test the fluid, you know, and it's got like 4 or 5 balls in there. And, you know, if all four or five of them rise up, then, you know, you can look on the chart and see how much charge it has in the battery, you know. And I figured I'd try that first, but I know there's a battery in between there that has to be weak, you know what I mean, because they're used. But will that affect the whole operation of the cart?
Well, if you have a wire going from my house to your house, and it's fine between here and Joe's house, but there's a break in it between Joe's house and your house, do you think we're going to get the signal through?
No.
Oh, there you go.
know. Well, you know, that's
okay. You know, if you're living on a farm and you had three 12-volt batteries, you could put those in series and see if the cart worked. But, you know, it's a lot of work for you.
Yeah, for me it is.
Yeah.
But you can go down
and get that cheap battery tester. It's got a gauge on it. You hold it on your hand, and you put it across the negative and the positive terminals, and you press the button, and it actually tests it under load. Because just because it has a surface charge and it's saying that it's got 6 or 7 volts in it, that doesn't mean that the battery will work underneath load.
Yeah, okay. I know what you're saying.
Mark, what year is the golf cart?
Oh God, I don't know, Joe. It's
all right.
It's probably it's probably in the 90s somewhere.
All right, so because what I'm trying to get at is a lot of people email me about the show sometimes. Like I got like 15 emails last week about one of the shows we did. So when Joe was talking about the flu virus, so you know, if someone has a suggestion for Mike, they can email me at joegibsonishome@yahoo.com. And just real, not to interrupt you, Mike, because you guys carry on. But if you guys missed the show that we did on Sunday, we had Chris from Brantford, Connecticut, on, and we talked about ADHD, the disorder that a lot of children have today. And if you missed that show, you should go back and listen, because that was a very interesting show where we talked about vaccinations and ADHD and a lot of many disorders that children have today. And Chris, who is a grown man now, told his story on how he learned how to manage that disorder. So I was just trying to, because there's a couple new people on tonight that are listening, and I just wanted to, you know, put that out there. So if you missed that show, go back and listen. But anyway, Mike, I mean, what do you think about this golf cart situation? I mean,
have you used the cart yet, Mike? Did it work for you?
Oh, yeah, it worked fine. I've used it for basically most of the summer. But, you know, I've been using it, you know, every other day or something like that. And, you know, when I had a problem with my foot and I basically had a toe cut off, I couldn't use that press on the pedal for a while, so I couldn't basically run it. So
yeah, well, what I'm getting at, it could be like Joe says, you could have a bad solenoid for the ignition switch or something. When you turn the ignition switch and you go to go, does it do anything at all or nothing?
No, it's completely dead.
Well,
it doesn't move. It used to, you know, when you put it in reverse, it used to, you know, make a ding sound when you're backing up. You put it in reverse now, it does absolutely nothing.
Yeah, well, it sounds like there's something else wrong there. But the first thing you gotta do is check the batteries for voltage and everything, and then go to your ignition switch, and you know it probably goes through a solenoid, and that the shift lever's probably got a switch in it, and like riding lawnmowers, they got so many safety interlocks that when something goes wrong, you spend half a day trying to figure out how to get it going.
Yeah. Well, I got to put a little time into it and I guess find out. But I was just wondering about the battery situation. You know, if a couple of them in the middle were, they're old batteries. I mean, you know, I know they are. But, you know, if, you know, a couple of them in the middle are, you know, 8 volts and 9 volts and all the rest of them, I mean, are like 5 volts and 4 volts and the rest of them are all 6. You know, but
is it economically feasible for you just to go, hey, get 6 brand new batteries and see if it works? If it doesn't, bring them back, right?
It'd be less expensive to get a battery tester and check each battery and then charge the batteries.
Well,
it's probably a solenoid or ignition switch or something like that.
I have a voltmeter, so I'll try it with that, and I also have that viscosity tester to, you know, test the acid. You know,
well, I got someone else who wants to chime in too, so I'll put her on, okay? Go ahead. Hello, Reedsville, North Carolina. Go ahead, Bridget.
Hey, this is Bridget.
And someone,
North Carolina.
And someone with the background, and one of you guys has got background noise, so please, I can
definitely
hear it.
Definitely not me.
No, I know you just
me.
Chimed in. But anyway, go ahead, Bridget.
Well, what's been on my mind lately is I've been having some issues with the public schools policies. And that's what's been on my mind lately, because it just seems like it seems like their policies don't promote the parent being involved in the child's learning experience. Like, they don't want you in the classroom. You got to stand outside. You can't walk them to the classroom in the morning. And the list goes on and on. And they want to push the immunizations. And they want to put in the form that they're not liable for any health issues that may arise from him not having any immunizations. And just, you know, just crazy policies that I feel like a lot of state things that are regulated by the state, that they do that because the public health department, they like to do that too. They only want one parent to go back. They don't want two. And it just seems like, you know, they want.
So what you're saying is the public school stance is that their stance is they basically are trying to divide the family instead of uniting the family. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it seems like it because, I mean, I don't remember, you know, and I know it probably didn't used to be that way, and, you know, because I've heard from different people that, you know, had different experiences when they were in school, and, you know, the parents were encouraged to come in the classroom, and my daughter attends a private school, and you're encouraged to come in, as far as I know, unless they've changed it.
Well, how about people that are from the older generation out there? Not saying old, but what I'm saying is people that are not from today's generation, if you want to call in and give your experience. I mean, how was it when you went to school? Was the parent involved? Because we weren't there, we don't know. But today, let me tell you, like Bridget says in Reidsville, that the parent is shunned from being involved in the in-school activities, and it sucks. I don't like it, and she don't like it. So what do you think?
They were always calling the parents in when I was in school. But it seems like today it's just another agenda, and they'll work on this for a long time. A few years back, not too long ago, Eric Holder, he was your United States Attorney General, he put out a speech, which I have, and what he said in that speech, he wants all schools to do an anti-gun speech every single day for these students. He wants to teach these students that guns are no good, and he wants to know where guns are, and he wants to set up a hotline so all these students can call in, because that's the beginning of the agenda, and you see where it's going today. Now you see what Bridget's problem is, and it's not going to get any better.
Well, it's like, remember, Joe, last week Savannah from Wallingford, Connecticut called in. She's a high school student. And remember, I was grilling her, asking her questions. Hey, what are they teaching you in school today? And she was telling us, look, they're absolutely 180 degrees opposite of what you, Joe, grew up with and what I grew up with. And it's really, it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
You know?
This is all sort of along the topic of what I wanted to talk a little bit about tonight. I wanted to talk about Hollywood a little bit.
Okay. Well, you can. I just got one more person that wants to chime in, and then go ahead. I just want to put her on
because
she's been waiting for a while.
Sure.
Go ahead. 235-5237. Go ahead.
Hey, Joe. I wanted to ask Bridget, what was that they won't let you participate in anything in Joe's classroom?
Well, they don't allow you to go to the classroom, so I don't have any opportunity to find out how his day is, because they want them to walk to the classroom by themselves, and then when you come at the end of the day, the teacher's way too busy trying to keep track of 20 kids, and, you know, you can't stand there and talk to her unless you want to stand there and wait for all the kids to figure out.
Let me clarify this. They don't want you coming into the school anymore. They want you to drop the child off in the parking lot and allow them to find their way to the classroom. And at the end of the day, you're not allowed to enter the school. You have to wait for them to line up by number, and then when they see you, then the child is allowed to go to their parents. The point is they don't want you inside the school anymore.
No, not whenever the beginning of school or anything. That all happened because of Sandy Ridge and a lot of the other schools that were taken upon fire, you know, where they were fired on and shot at and everything, the children dying. when you do go into school, because I just did it to Lydia's school, if you do go into school, you have to go into the office. And what they do is through a computer, they register you. They ask you where you're going. They put down on this name tag your name. And they register you, sign you in, and they put down where you're supposed to be. And they do that for safety precautions now. But if she wants to find out.
What I'm trying to say is, you just said, we register you in a computer, and that's where you're supposed to be. Well, what if I got a 9mm in my pocket? Who's going to stop me from hurting anyone?
That's why you go through the office first.
So they can basically
check you out, okay? When you come in, I went in, obviously they didn't check me out. I didn't have a pocketbook. I had on a skirt and a shirt, so obviously they knew not to check me. They check you out if you go into the school, and they actually, some schools actually take your picture.
Okay, they took my picture, but like I said, if I have a gun in my sock or an ankle bracelet on with a gun with a holster, do they search you? Do they go through a metal detector?
They can if they feel the warrant. I guess they would have to use their judgment.
All right. Now, okay, let's just say hypothetically, and I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm not arguing with you. Let's just say I'm coming in there and I want to kill everybody in that school, okay? All right, they found out I got a gun. I'm just going to shoot the person standing in front of me, and I'm going to go on and do what I'm going to do. Who's going to stop?
That's why most of the schools, when you go into the office, you go through a secure door. You cannot get out the other door unless you were to bust all the glass. Most of it is temperamental glass where you can't really break it anymore.
Yeah.
But they have another door you have to go through, and that door is alarmed, and you cannot get in or out of that door until somebody actually lets you in or out.
So you're telling
me that
if I come
they've always had that wired glass when I went to school inside the glass.
Right. Well, now it's like you couldn't bust it. You could bust it. By the time you went through all that, believe me, the cops would be there.
If somebody wants to hurt, they're going to do it. For instance, this morning in a small town 20 miles from me, they caught an 18-year-old guy on the roof of the elementary school, okay? And the cops got him and brought him down, and they searched his car, and the trunk of his car was loaded with guns and semi-automatics.
Yeah.
And come to find out, he was gonna shoot the people that were gonna go out on the track team or the field or whatever.
You're right. And you know what, Debbie? Debbie from Reidsville, North Carolina. Not to interrupt you, Mike, but this is a good show to do in the future. School security. You know, where we can get somebody from the Board of Education on here to explain why they have the policies they have, and do they really think they're safe? And I do know somebody that's the superintendent of Guilford County Schools. I used to mow his grass.
You're going to be interested in Rockingham County because of Joey being in Rockingham County. If she wants to go in now and observe him, you can go to the office during the school day and get signed in appropriately and go to the classroom and observe him if you request
it. No, not anymore.
No, you can't do that anymore.
I would go to the Board of Education because they used to let you go in and observe the classroom. Now, I think they even did away with, like, you used to be able to go and eat a meal with your child. I think they did away with that, too.
Well, no, you can. They're going to allow us to start doing that after October 5th. But, no, what Bridget and Reidsville saying is correct. If we walk into that office now and we sign in and go through everything you just talked about, and they do have that, they will not allow us to go to that classroom, regardless. They go
so they're really protecting the kids. Yeah, so...
But suppose it's a little too late.
What they're probably going to do is they're probably going to...
Go ahead, Mike.
Set up an internet feed like, you know, we did at the... They do a kennel so people on vacation can just dial up the internet and look at their dog while they're on vacation. They're probably going to start something like that to keep the parents away like they're doing. You know, so the parents can dial into the internet and pull up the room and... You know, and see what's going on.
My problem is this. you know, we heard about what happened in Newtown, and we don't know if it actually happened the way they said they did.
Right,
but
it's
listen,
not just Newtown, though. There's other schools, too.
Yeah, but they claim when Adam Lanza went to
the
school, he shot all the glass and shot all the doors out with the AR-15
mm-hmm.
and then walked down the hallway and started shooting people. So, and that is true. If I have an AR-15, there's no glass that's going to stop me. There's no door, you know. And, I mean,
right, and you can
about
blow the school up for all you know, too.
Exactly. So, but you know what? What's good about my son's school, and I'm going to tell everybody right now, when I pull up in the morning, there's a sheriff there. And when I come to go pick him up, there's a sheriff there.
Sheriff.
He does stay there for a lot of, and you know what? That's a huge deterrent. An armed man waiting there for your son, whether or not he's in shape or not, we can make jokes or whatever, but somebody who's armed is a deterrent.
And they have access to the radio.
In Connecticut, I don't know about their all gun-free zones, which is the stupidest mistake they ever did. And after the Sandy hoax, they're allowing, you know, policemen to be in, or whatever, guards with guns to be on school property, which is the way it should be. And there should also be guns in the principal's office.
That's right.
Right.
Bridget Reedsville, what does the country of Israel do? You're an expert on that. Tell these people about the country of Israel.
The country of Israel and all their schools, they put their teachers through a gun training course. And
there
they have a rifle on a shoulder strap on their arm when they lead those kids out of the classroom and when they're in the school, too.
The only problem with that in America is if you're on any kind of pharmaceutical drug, you're going to be deemed a nutcase and you won't be able to do it.
Well, I know, but what Bridget just said, though, you know what? If my son's teacher was professionally trained and had a semi-automatic rifle strapped around her back, you know what? I would never worry about some whack job coming to blow his class up, because you know what? She could take anybody out. You can't prevent anything from happening. But you know what? Hey, let's use common sense here. We live in sick times now where people will hurt children no matter what. Why not have our teachers trained to use a firearm? Why not? You know, it makes why. We have armed guards at banks. Why can't we have armed guards at schools? Right?
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense.
That's
I know, and unfortunately,
prerequisite firearms training should be a prerequisite. They should get a carry permit, concealed carry permit, or whatever. This way, nobody would know whether they have one or not.
That's right.
Right. Because you know nowadays, like you said years ago, the older generation, our generation, we just went in and out of school. I walked right into your classroom and got you.
If you remember correctly, when Jason was in Mosey Y and he hit his tooth or whatever, and I went in to talk to the principal, of course, I wasn't going to hurt the principal or anybody else, but the principal wouldn't talk to me, and he ran away from me, and I ran right to his door. He closed and locked his door, and I was pounding on his door to talk to him, and he wouldn't come out. But that was the end of it. But that was the end of it then. I didn't go home and get an Uzi and come back and take out the school.
Right.
Well, yeah,
and most parents didn't do it then.
Yeah.
Most parents in our age didn't do that.
Right.
I thought you blew up the cafeteria, Joe.
Yeah.
Blew up the cafeteria?
Yeah. When I was in ninth grade, I had switchblade in my pocket every day. Did I go around slashing people? No. It's just the way we were brought up. I grew up in the 80s, so the 80s were rebel times. I wore a leather jacket. I had a switchblade in my pocket, you know. But today, they come to school and they want to kill everybody for no reason. That's bullshit.
They bring in a water pistol and they get suspended, and I know.
Yeah.
Right. Right, and it's all because of the way the times are.
They're going to make an example out of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at even kids taking in toy guns. They're suspended.
Go ahead, Mike.
Bus drivers. Up here in Wisconsin, they just this morning in Milwaukee, the cops pulled a drunk driver of a school bus out of the box just before he was starting rounds this morning. He was twice the limit. And wasn't there a bus down south somewhere that went over a bridge this morning?
It was just on the news.
Yeah, well, I got an opinion on that. You know, some people drink and they just can't stop. And you know what? They have to have a pint of something before they walk out of the house in the morning. So real quickly, you know, they have problems. They have serious problems. You know, I love my beer too, but you know what? I don't have to drink it. And if I got a job, I don't have to go there drunk. Whoever the supervisor is there should have known better. These people should be checked, and if they have problems, this guy's probably going to be blackballed for the rest of his life now when he has a serious issue that could be fixed.
Well, you
That's
know
true.
What they should do? They should put the breathalyzer thing on the buses. Where
well,
they
there you go.
Blow
right.
into it, blow into
well,
it
there
before
you go.
It starts. Well, that'll kind of...
Well, Mike, hey, Mike, you just made a great point. What did I talk about all this time ago? We have all this technology, but yet we don't use it the right way. You know, we have all these cell phones, you know. All this technology is used, and all it's doing is screwing us up more instead of using it in the right way. Mike, we got technology. You're right. Why can't those buses have breathalyzers on it? Why can't cop cars have them? Why can't cops all have body cameras? Why can't school principals have body cameras? Why can't there be armed guards in front of our schools? We have all this technology, but we'd only use it for what? Let's post a selfie on Facebook. You know, I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Technology is good, but we really don't need all that technology. What we really need is common sense. Like I said, I want to talk about something else, so that's what it's going to go into.
Well, go ahead, Joe. I know you've been waiting, so go ahead. Bring it up. Bring your subject
no,
up.
No, listen, I can
I know
talk about
waiting.
This anytime. We're talking about things of interest to everybody. Not everybody wants to hear me rant and rave about Hollywood.
Well, I know. But anyway, but what I'm saying is we are on the subject of schools, and that is a touchy subject. And if there's anyone else out there who wants to chime in, I mean, if there's an older generation crowd, when you went to school, how was it? I mean, if there's somebody who's out there. Go ahead, Mike.
A teenager would call in and tell you how schools really are, you know? How's homeroom nowadays compared to
well,
when
we
went to school?
Yeah, we had Savannah call in last week, and she's 15 years old, and she was supposed to be on here tonight, but we know how the younger generation is, Mike. So you tell them to be here at 5, they're not going to show up till 7, you know? But that brings up an interesting point. Maybe that's the way why schools are the way they are, because our younger generation is so dumbed down, they're so irresponsible, disrespectful, rude, and arrogant. Maybe the schools have the right idea that that's how we're supposed to straighten these kids out. You know, I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I'm just saying, maybe that's why things are being done the way they are. Mike, when you were younger, when your mom told you to come home and be home for dinner at 6 o'clock, would you show up at 9? You know?
No, not. You just, I don't know. There just was a thing in you that said, you know, they want me to come in at 7 or they want me to come in at 6. So, you know, you kind of made sure your butt was home.
That's right. That's right.
Because
you knew the wrath of God was going to hit you if you didn't.
Right. There was consequences if you didn't do it. Nowadays, what kind of consequences do they get?
Time out.
Yeah, dear.
I would have loved the time out.
Yeah, I know. I would have, too.
They give them a time out in front of their Game Boy.
But back to the schools, I mean, I wish somebody from an older generation would call in, because I know what generation everyone's coming from.
We used to say the Pledge of Allegiance. We used to say the Pledge of Allegiance first thing.
You had prayer in school back then, didn't you?
Right. Yes, and you said the Pledge of Allegiance. You stood there with respect and said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. It started like that every single day. You showed respect.
Every single morning.
Craig Ferguson, that used to do the Late Late Show, he was one day he was saying on his monologue that if you don't believe in God and you can't say the Pledge of Allegiance, then you're okay to go back to your own country.
That's true.
But what
you're
is
right.
wrong with that? What is? I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't
it's
get
the
it.
Same thing about the schools. I think it's just another agenda. They're working on something.
If you don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance, you know what? Don't say it. Don't
yeah, but
take
there
it away from everybody.
Students that didn't say it.
Right.
Right. There were students that didn't say it, but they had to stand there with their hands by their side. You showed respect.
Now if you're Muslim and you're a female, you can get your picture taken with a scarf covering your face.
Well, that's what I was pointing out
for
well,
your motor vehicle
bring
license.
A bag on their head.
But hang on, that's what I was bringing about that woman in Kentucky who didn't want to perform gay marriages. Why shouldn't she be allowed to have a religious exemption? I mean, these Muslims in jail, when they pray, they have a right not to pray anywhere near a prison guard. And when they had to, they sued and they were awarded a religious exemption. Okay? So
I
these
know.
Criminals are these criminals are allowed to have a religious exemption. But why not this Christian woman who says, hey, it's my belief, I don't want to give out gay marriage certificates. You know,
well when we get an American president, maybe that'll change.
We won't get it with Donald Trump, I'll tell you that. He's an actor,
you know,
for sure. He's
you know what? We're probably gonna find out after Obama's good and gone that he probably, you know, wasn't really born in Hawaii. He was born in Kenya like they all said he was, you know.
Right.
True.
Yep.
He was just
really after ISIS.
Hawaii.
If he was really after ISIS and everything, they'd be gone by now. So if,
right.
if he's not against them, that means he's for them.
Well,
right.
I don't know about
well,
that.
You know,
but
you know what they say? You know what they say, Joe? You got to sign it before you read it.
Yeah, and we got to pass it before we read it.
Right.
Well, I don't want to wander off from the schools because that's an important topic. I mean, what do you think is the solution here with these schools that don't want to allow parents to walk their children to? I mean, when I was in kindergarten, my parents walked me to my classroom if I wanted them to, and they were there picking me up at the end of the day. And if they wanted to come into the school, they were allowed to. Today, we can't.
But,
why?
But you have to remember, Joe, in a communist society, you're not allowed to walk your children to the schoolroom.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Well,
where
do you think it's going?
Well, that's true.
Because we're halfway there now.
We got Hitler in the White House.
Well, we're a socialist now, and the next thing comes the communists.
Yeah,
right.
True.
This is,
true.
You know,
yes.
Well, Joe, the whole thing with Bethany School, that's really surprising. So it used to be very community-based. They had parents involved. When the girls went to school there, even when Jacob and Madeline were in there, the parents were very involved. Not anymore.
They're not anymore.
Obama said he's going to transform America, and look what he's doing.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know how parents communicate now through notes in the child's folder.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're allowed
right.
to communicate.
Yes, I know. I know because I read Lydia's notes at her little book. Yeah,
yeah,
a little folder we had to buy.
Yeah.
Here in Wisconsin,
yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Here in Wisconsin, they've done studies and everything, and they've come to find out that people that homeschool their children, those children are a heck of a lot smarter than the children that are coming out of public schools.
Without
and
a doubt.
They usually go on to become bigger and better, and you know, they're being homeschooled by their parents. I mean, what does that say? You know,
right.
the parent doesn't have any degree, you know, didn't you know, have to...
I agree,
you know,
Mike, I agree with homeschooling, but the problem is, though, that the child should socialize with other children.
Right,
the social yes, if you have,
but
you yeah.
know
if
what?
You have six siblings, if you have six siblings around the same age at home, that's great. But if you're an old one- or two-child family... They have to play with other children, you know?
And also,
right,
and also
but with homeschooling,
go ahead,
let me just say this because while we're on the subject about socialization. With homeschooling, there are extracurricular activities for homeschool children. where they do get that. So, you know, they have basketball. They have outside of homeschooling. There is, you just have to find out what groups, because my friend that I worked with, she's a nurse. She homeschooled both her children. They both went through college. But she told me, because I said, well, gee, didn't your children miss out on playing, or, you know, did they miss their, you know, after school activities? She goes, no. She says, there are homeschooling communities where you can get together and they have functions for these homeschool students.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, just and, like out here, on the farm.
If your child is homeschooled, if your child is homeschooled, since you're already paying taxes to send them to private school, you should be compensated somewhat so that you can send them to the school of your choice.
Well, you're not going to still got to pay for the homeschooling. You have to pay for the books and everything. And the programs that you have to follow, you do have to pay for them. It's not free. If
of
you
course,
go to a
that's
good
what, but,
program.
But the taxpayers are already paying for your child to go to a public school, but he's not. So
But
so
I thought, though, the only way that the schools get paid is if that child is physically in that school. That's why they get mad if you pull a child out and you send them someplace else, because they lose that money.
That may be true for the school part, but the town is still getting the tax dollars.
Right.
So therefore, you see, that's a half-truth. So therefore, some of those tax dollars should go back to the parents that are providing the education rather than the school that's not.
Right.
Well, how about like here in Wisconsin? The older generation, they pay taxes on the school through their property taxes, you know?
Right.
And, you know, Melody's grandmother was, you know, 92 years old, and she was still paying school tax.
That's a little ridiculous.
You know, and just like my brother says, you know, where does all that money go?
Yeah, that's right.
Goes to the CAFA reports, CARFA, whatever.
That is true. Joe, you know, the CAPA reports, if you ever have time, read those CAPA reports. I mean, it's amazing how much money the state and your local communities actually have. I won my Medicaid case over that. I brought the CAPA report to a hearing, and my case, I am the only adult in the state of North Carolina, the adult at the age I was, to receive full 100% Medicaid benefits. Okay, and have the decision overturned that Social Services ruled against me, because I brought that centralized financial report to the hearing, and I says, what are you talking about? You don't have the funds to provide for Medicaid for me. What are you talking about? And they said, where did you get that? I said, I got it online. Everybody can get it.
Right, exactly.
They don't want me telling people that.
that's comprehensive annual financial report. That's the report that your cities and towns don't want anyone to see. That's the money that they have put away, tacked on, spent for the next 20 years that they don't want anybody to know about.
That's right. And if everyone knew about that report, trust me, like that introduction I played, their whole house of cards would fall down. But people don't have time to read it. We got to go to work. We got to pay bills. You know, we got kids. They won't help us out.
Yeah.
And, you know,
people today are milquetoast. You know, they don't stand up for nothing. It's not like years ago, like when they decided to kill one of the farm bills. All the farmers took off and went to Washington D.C. and blocked traffic and shut it down, basically. You know,
nowadays,
what do? We shrug our shoulders up and say, oh, well.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do
about
it. You know?
Yeah.
That sure is. Well, anything else, Debbie? You got anything else you want
to
share
that's
about
it.
The schools or anything?
That's it. Just the way the schools have changed. I mean, everybody knows they've changed.
And how about Joe?
Excuse me?
How about you, Joe? You got anything else you want to contribute tonight?
Well, yeah, I want to talk about Hollywood, but, you know, I want you guys to finish first.
Well, I don't think you're going to have enough time. We only got 19 minutes. Can you wrap it up in 19 minutes?
Well, I don't know. Probably. If not, I'll just stop and I'll continue some other time, because I'll forget what I'm talking about anyway.
All right, well, Mike, you got anything else you want to add real quick? Because if not, he wants to talk about Hollywood, and I'll give him the floor. Hey, why not?
Okay. No, I don't have anything else. Just I'm glad to hear the people that are on here. And, you know, if anybody, you know, give me some suggestions on my problem, you know, please email Joey.
We talked about his golf cart problem. Just email
right.
me at joegibsonishome@yahoo.com. If you're a mechanic out there, and hey, listen, there might be somebody out there who works on golf carts for a living, like Mike's trying to do here.
It's an easy go golf cart, just so they know the brand.
All right. Just email me if you can help Mike out, joegibsonishome@yahoo.com, or send it through the Blog Talk Radio website, and I'll get the message. But all right, Joe and Meriden, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to take me that long. But, you know, I always tell you, don't pay attention to the media. Take it with a grain of salt. I tell you, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, and you'll have a better life. I don't mean that literally. What I mean is, like I said, take it with a grain of salt. Is what I wanted to talk about is Hollywood a little bit. You know, lots of people go to Hollywood. They want to be actors. They want to be movie stars. And they do the best they can to accomplish that task. The fact of the matter is, just like the presidents, all the movie stars and all the presidents are related in some way. I think Bush is related to Obama as ninth cousin or something like that, and Jennifer Aniston is related to whatever. But they're all related. So you have a snowball chance in hell of actually being a movie star unless you're related somehow to someone already in the business. So we have these wannabe stars going to Hollywood because I want to be a movie star, and they'll do anything. They'll do anything to get up on stage and act. And if you talk to somebody out there in Hollywood, oh, yeah, I'm studying to be an actor. Oh, what restaurant do you work at? Because that's where all the actors work, in restaurants, because they don't get any parts unless they're related. So these wannabe actors, what they usually get for parts, which is going to bring me to the schools and everything where I'm going, is they get to be crisis actors. Yes, lots of these people you see on TV, these shootings where people don't actually get shot, they're crisis actors. These people, they get their legs blown off, that have the fake legs strapped on with the fake bottle of blood that they spray on it because they say their leg got blown off. Those are crisis actors. They're getting paid to do this. That's why you've never seen these people before, because they want to be movie stars. The mannequins you see getting rushed down the middle of the road because they just got shot or something, because they're mannequins on a stretcher. Because as you look close, you'll see they're not real people. They're actually mannequins. And they must have ran out of crisis actors on that day. Because this is the truth. And you can check it out and find out for yourself. Because the truth is, the media, it's been ruled in court. There's a court case, and I can cite the court case for you if you really want it. The media has no obligation to provide you the truth in what they're reporting. As long as it doesn't cause a pandemic of harm or something like that, they're free to report whatever they want, because media is their business. It's a consumable. They make money off of it. But it's not the money they're going after by reporting these stories, because the money is the secondary portion. It's their ratings to get people to watch. Then the money flows in. All these news stations, they're all the same. They're going to make a story so unbelievable because they want the ratings, because the ratings have sooner or later turn into dollar bills. And that's where this goes. And this goes to with all the school shootings, all the Boston events, all these Aurora movie theaters. This guy in Aurora went into the movie theater. He had 43 fully loaded handguns. Oh, come on, give me a break, you know. But that's what's reported. I'm not saying none of these events didn't happen. What I'm saying is what's being reported to us didn't happen the way it's being reported, because it's all fakery. It's all news. It's all media. They have an obligation to their stockholders to get their ratings up and to provide as much income as possible, because if they don't, they'll be looking for another job. And it's already been ruled in the Florida case that the media does not have a responsibility ability at all to report the truth to the public. And that's what I want to talk about.
Okay. Well, you pretty much said it pretty quickly there, but okay, the media, I mean, so what do you suggest we do? Not pay attention to Fox News and CNN anymore unless we're eating a bag of popcorn, like I always say?
I've said that before. You see, now you're acting like the herbs and drugs and everything. No, you pay attention, you take it with a grain of salt, and you got to figure out the truth for yourself. You know the English language is, you've said this before, the English language is very twisted and manipulated. Come in here for your free cell phone. Did you read the fine print, though? You see, it's the fine print you got to worry about because you can't read it, you can't even see it, and it says you're obligated for $90 a month for the rest of your life for this free phone. So it's really not free. So when they report the news, you know, I said, watch CNN, watch the stock markets on TV. See where gold's going, see where silver's going, and then you know what? Get the hell out of their way. If you see gold is going down to -$12 an ounce, where you're going to have to pay to get rid of it, you know, it's time to think about something else. That's not what I mean. That's crazy. But
all right,
you know,
well, let me ask you this question. Let me go to this thing. Hollywood, okay, it's a big fat lie. Everything's, you know, deception, and we know that. We all know that. But what do we do in our day-to-day lives? Yes, maybe you could stay home all day and putz around your house or operate on your computers and do your own thing on your side. But what about us that have to go to work 40 hours a week, pay our bills, pay our mortgage? What do we do to get around this deception?
I really don't know. Like I said, you have to figure your way through the maze. If you don't think I put in 40 hours a week, I put in 20 hours a day. But it's doing something else. Trust me, I said it before. I wish I could sit down for 30 minutes and watch a TV show. I don't have 30 minutes during the day. You know, this call is about the only time I'm going to be sitting down. I think, like I said, you have to take the information you receive and figure your way through it. You know, I mean, you know, like I told you in the beginning of this call, your Attorney General, Eric Holder. He got on and he wants the anti-gun speech in every school every single day, and he wants to set up a hotline because they don't want guns in America. And when guns leave America, that's when it becomes communist, because that's when they're going to take you over. So what you got to do is figure your way through the maze the best way possible. I don't think there is a possible solution for every given circumstance.
Well, I don't think they'll ever convince all of America to give up their weapons. I mean, it was the foundation of this country. I mean, God, guns and guts. I mean, I just don't think they'll ever Yeah, you're right. Society as a whole, even today, if you saw a guy walking into the store with a gun on his side, you'd be like, oh, my God, even though it's perfectly legal for him to do that, especially in the state of North Carolina. It's an open carry state, you know, so, But
given time, give it 50 years, and you know what? Maybe they won't even be handing out permits anymore. You know, I said this in another call. Their agenda is going to take generations into account. It's not going to happen in one generation.
Yeah, and we mean by they is the rich people of the world, the elite people of the world, but they are becoming impatient, you know? They really are. They're becoming impatient. And actually, I have a call from California. This is Blog Talk Radio. So we got to start getting ready to wrap it up, okay?
All right. Sure.
All right. Anyway, thanks, everyone, tonight for your participation. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up with a closing. All right. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody. Tune in tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m.
Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you've got one.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
And if anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off the chip.
That's right, microchips. In 2005, Congress, under the pretense of immigration control and the so-called war on terrorism, passed the REAL ID Act, under which it is projected by May 2008, you will be required to carry around a federal identification card, which includes on it a scannable barcode with your personal information. However, this barcode is only an intermediary step before the card is equipped with a VeriChip RFID tracking module, which will use radio frequencies to track your every move on the planet. If this sounds foreign to you, please note that the RFID tracking chip is already in all new American passports. And the final step is the implanted chip, which many people have already been manipulated into accepting under different pretenses.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their bodies.
After 9/11, I was really concerned with the security of my family.
I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me.
In the end, everybody will be locked into a monitored control grid where every single action you perform is documented. And if you get out of line, they can just turn off your chip, for at that point in time, every single aspect of society will revolve around interactions with the chips. This is the picture that is painted for the future if you open your eyes to see it. A centralized one-world economy where everyone's moves and everyone's transactions are tracked and monitored, all rights removed. The most incredible aspect of all. These totalitarian elements will not be forced upon the people. The people will demand them. For the social manipulation of society through the generation of fear and division has completely detached humans from their sense of power and reality. A process which has been going on for centuries, if not millennia. Religion, patriotism, race, wealth, class, and every other form of arbitrary, separatist identification, thus conceit, has served to create a controlled population, utterly malleable in the hands of the few. Divide and conquer is the motto, and as long as people continue to see themselves as separate from everything else, they lend themselves to being completely enslaved. The men behind the curtain know this, and they also know that if people ever realize the truth of their relationship to nature, and the truth of their personal power, the entire manufactured zeitgeist they prey upon will collapse like a house of cards.
The whole system that we live in drills into us that we're powerless, that we're weak, that our society is evil, that it's fragmented, et cetera, and so forth. It's all a big, fat lie. We are powerful, beautiful, extraordinary. There is no reason why we cannot understand who we truly are, where we are going. There is no reason why the average individual cannot be fully empowered. We are incredibly powerful beings.
Now, I think I spent 30 years of my life in the first 30, trying to become something. I wanted to become good at things. I wanted to become good at tennis. I wanted to become good at school and grades and everything I kind of viewed in that perspective. I'm not okay the way I am, but if I got good at things, I realized that I had the game wrong. The game was to find out what I already was.
culture, we've been trained for individual differences to stand out. So you look at each person, immediately it is brighter, dumber, older, younger, richer, poorer, and we make all these dimensional distinctions, put them in categories and treat them that way. And we get so that we only see others as separate from ourselves in the ways in which they're separate. And one of the dramatic characteristics of experience is being with another person and suddenly seeing the ways in which they are like you, not different from you, and experiencing the fact that which is essence in you and which is essence in me is indeed one. The understanding that there is no other. It is all one. And I wasn't born Richard Alpert. I was just born as a human being. And then I learned this whole business of who I am and whether I'm good or bad or achieving or not. All that's learned along the way.
Like a ride in an amusement park. And when you go on it, you think it's real,
because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored.
And it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real,
or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry.
Don't be afraid ever. Because this is just a ride. And we kill those people.
Shut him up. I've got a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up.
Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account
and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we will kill those good guys
and try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok?
But it doesn't matter. Because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want.
It's all only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money.
Just a choice right now between fear and love.